Wave him in the devil's face. Let him know you mean business. The Bible says he's the principality, power of the air. Praise God. The spirit that now works in the spirit in the children of disobedience. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is the word of God. And God's word is devil destruction power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil every single day.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is the word of God. And God's word is the revelation of his will for my life. Whatever says I am, that's what I am.
That's what I am.
Whatever says I can do, I can do it. Whatever says I have, I claim it. In Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Now, Lord, help us to be doers of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, as I told you earlier, I'll be preaching or teaching at Holy Temple Church of God in Christ, and I'm going to be dealing with the subject about God's character in relation to sin. But here we're going to continue to talk about love, the law of the kingdom. Glory to God.
Amen.
I tell you, if I was to go by my body, I think I'd sit in the stool, but then I probably wouldn't be able to sit too long. You know, like I told you, we spent about 5 hours out in the yard doing a bunch of cutting grass and cleaning up and stuff like that. Then, after that, I had to go to a service last night at another church. They was having a celebration service for one of their people, and I had to attend that. And so, by the time I got home, I was aching, and I woke up this morning, I was still aching, praise God. Amen. But we're going to get through this as though the Lord has already healed me. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus. So, we've been dealing with the subject, love being the law of the kingdom. Turn with me to James chapter 2, verse 8. Our foundation text, which is James chapter 2, verse 8. If I don't seem like my usual energetic self, I've already explained to y'all why, so y'all just forgive me, amen? All right. but I am determined to teach this lesson and to get through this thing so that y'all can be blessed in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Amen. I was talking with a man of God from Colorado last night, too, getting to know him. We called him. Calling each other on the phone and stuff like that. He's got some of my books and been blessed by them. And he's got Bible school starting in Scotland and places like that. And I've been trying to talk to him about coming over here to Rhode Island and helping us get started with some of this type of stuff. But he was telling me, he says, you know, Pastor Troy, he says, I love teaching. He said, I can teach 6 hours a day if they let me. He said, I bet you're that way too. I said, yeah, I pretty much am. I just love the work. I love this job, praise God. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more enjoyable than being a mouthpiece for the Lord, being able to explain the Bible, because I love the Word of God, and I love sharing what I love, praise God. Hallelujah. If you're called to the ministry, you'll find out that love and that passion. You can't even be in the ministry unless you have that passion, hallelujah. And so I'm able to do it no matter how I'm feeling, all glory to God.
Amen.
James chapter 2, verse 8, it says, and if ye fulfill the royal law, say royal law.
Royal law.
According to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Praise God. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is the royal law. Say royal law.
Royal law.
See, a royal law is associated with king. Amen.
Amen.
And if it's a king, then he must be ruler over a kingdom. Praise God.
Amen.
And that's what makes, and whenever he gives a decree or a law, it is a royal law. Praise God.
Amen.
And so the king rules over his kingdom and gives laws that are in consistency, usually with his own nature. At least our divine king does. And last week, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at some of the truths concerning the law of God that came about, you know, during the time of Moses and the prophetic books. And we saw that all the law and all the prophets were built on the foundation of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Praise God.
Amen.
And then last week, we looked at the nature of sin itself and the nature of love, and we saw that sin is basically selfishness. Say selfishness.
Selfishness.
That is the foundation of sin. See, sin, whenever I sin against you or sin against God, I am only concerned about my needs. Praise God. When I steal from you, I'm no longer concerned about you. I'm no longer concerned about your feelings. I am concerned about number one. I remember a young woman, she's in love with the Lord now, but I remember when she was giving us her testimony, my wife and I had discipled her and her husband some years ago. And she was saying when she was addicted to crack, man, she would steal from everybody. She would steal even from herself. She would steal from her mama. She would steal from any, you know, what. Love for relatives means nothing when you're addicted like that. Praise God. Mm-hmm. You become completely and totally selfish because you need to get that high. You need to get those, what is it called? Top of them, dopamines or whatever have you. You got to get that thing going. Mm-hmm. And so you will steal, kill, and destroy in order to get that special high. Praise God. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when you have, you know, an adulterous affair, you're married, she's married, and you still have an affair with each other. You don't care anything about your husband. You don't care anything about her wife. You don't, his wife, excuse me, Lord Jesus, no way. I know it's a popular thing today for women to be married to women, but that's not God. But we even talked about that last week, how the homosexual agenda is more concerned about themselves than how it affects other people. Glory to God.
Amen.
See, that the whole basic idea of sin is self-focus, selfishness. I need to get my needs met. It doesn't matter what I do, how it affects others, and I don't care about what's going on with other people. I only care about me. Well, that right there is devoid of love. Praise God. And the whole basis of the law of God, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. In other words, to put it another way, thou shalt not gossip. Amen. Mm-hmm. Thou shalt not talk behind somebody's back. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Stop bearing false witness. Stop talking about people. Praise Jesus. Mm-hmm. As if you somebody special. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Thou shalt not do these things because it hurts that person. When I love you, I won't bear false witness against you. Praise God.
Amen.
I won't go around lying on you. If I love you, I won't steal from you. See, I don't have to sit there and keep it like I used to do when I first got saved. Had the Ten Commandments written down in my notebook and checking every day. Okay, I did good on that one. Well, I messed that one up. And that one. I messed that one up. I might have got one out of the ten good. But, you know, the Bible tells you, if you offended one, you offended all, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I got nine of them right and messed up on one, I still messed up on all of them, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why James says that, he says it's because the foundation of the law is love, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And so loving people, having others focus love is what is more important to God. See, if you have others focused love, you will sin much less. Praise God.
Amen.
Matter of fact, as you continue to develop love, I firmly believe you will stop sinning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you. people tell me, well, it's impossible. You can't live a sin-free life. That's a lie. That's a lie straight from hell. Have I gotten there yet? No. But I am striving for it. Praise God.
Amen.
You know why? Because I love y'all. I love God. And I love people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And so so you strive for it. And I learned to strive by developing my love walk. By trying to put others before myself, by being concerned about other people's needs, being concerned about other people's desires, if they will let me. Amen. Because I won't force my way into your life. If I ask you something and you don't want to talk to me about it, I'm not going to push you. Praise God.
Amen.
But I will continue to pray for you. Now, you can't stop me from doing that. But as your pastor, I would love to help you. I love to counsel you. But, you know, a lot of y'all are private people. I used to be that way. I'm still tempted to be that way, but I've learned to be more transparent because y'all need that. Amen. Now, today we want to talk about what is the God kind of love. See, if you're going to walk in love, if you're going to fulfill the royal law of the kingdom, you need to understand exactly what this love is. Now, love, there's several words in the Greek for love, praise God, which our Bible, our New Testament, it was originally written in the Greek language and later translated into English. Now, in the English, there's only one word for love, and that's love. I can say I love my daughters, praise God.
Amen.
Now, if my daughters make me mad, then I stop claiming them as my daughters, and I talk to Taco, and I say, your daughters.
Yes.
I can love my wife, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
As long as she's looking like she does today, looking all cute and fine and everything. You know, but when she gets old and decrepit, then I might not love her anymore. Amen. You know, I can love my friends, Pastor Steve and Pastor Mary, until they get me upset.
Mm.
And then I can hate their guts.
Mm.
See, that's not the God kind of love, praise God. That is, for the love that I just described for my wife, that's called Eros love, praise God. That's a sexual attraction. You know, that's attraction, and there's nothing wrong with that. Listen, y'all, ladies, gentlemen, there is nothing wrong with wanting a good-looking woman or a good-looking man, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, good-looking is relative, amen.
Mm-hmm.
What I might find attractive, you may not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's not, God created us that way. He created us as visual people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my daughter Terry, when she tells me I gotta find her a husband, she, you know, when I start giving her choices, she said, nope, you don't look good enough for her.
Too young.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, for me, as her father, I have a criteria. He's got to be, first, number one, he's got to be a Christian. He's got to love Jesus. Number two, he got to have some money because I ain't going to be supporting him. Once she's married, out you go. You only come back if there's some problem with the marriage or something like that. But otherwise, get out. So he's got to have a job, praise God. Those are my only two requirements. Hers, he's got to look a certain way. You know, she wants a dark-skinned brother with some dark glasses. So if y'all know some Africans that wear dark glasses and real cool and bald heads, you know, just remember my criteria and remember her criteria. You're already taken. You should have put the camera on that one. It's too late. But I sure would like somebody like you, though.
That's the example.
That's the example.
Amen.
Pastor Steve was providing the illustration. But there's nothing wrong with that, y'all.
Amen.
But once you get married, and this is, you know, I'm supposed to give the marriage exhortation next week. I mean, the week after next, so some of these things I'll be talking about over there. But there's nothing wrong with that, but after the wedding, after, you know, y'all done got the attraction and the good looks and everything, you need the next thing in God's plan, which is agape.
Amen.
Now, before I get to agape, there's also the phileo love, which I talked about with my children or even my friends, praise God.
Amen.
That's the phileo love, the brotherly kind of love. Matter of fact, the city we're going to, Philadelphia, was named after that, the city of brotherly love, praise God. And so, that's when I love you because you're a good friend, you're a good brother, you're a close friend, or you're good children, or whatever have you. That kind of, that, and there's two other words I can't remember, but that's not important. But the one we want to really focus on, the one that God really wants you to emphasize, even though he's giving you all the other ones, but he wants you to primarily focus on the agape. Say agape.
Agape.
Agape is the kind of love that God has, which is completely unconditional. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean God doesn't appreciate beauty. God loves beauty. Praise God.
Amen.
God, he appreciates beauty. God appreciates friendship. Praise God. Mm-hmm. But and God wants friendship. He wants phileo friendship with his children. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
But for even if he doesn't have that, he still has the agape for every single one of us. See, some of us have the phileo, we have the eros, but we don't necessarily have the agape. Or agape, it depends on who you talk to who tells you how it's pronounced. So what we're going to talk about today primarily is the agape or the agape love. So one of the reasons why love is God, or the agape love is God's primary law, is because God himself is the epitome of agape or agape. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. See, when you understand this agape or agape love, you won't struggle with forgiveness as much anymore. Praise God.
Amen.
You'll be quicker to forgive because you will have unconditional God kind. Say God kind.
God kind.
Matter of fact, maybe instead of saying agape, I'm going to start referring to it as the God kind of love, which is separate from other kinds of love. So we'll replace agape with God kind of love. Say God kind of love.
God kind of love.
1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God." Say born of God.
Born of God.
"And knoweth God." Say knoweth God.
Knoweth God.
Oh, you got to be, that's one of the things right there. You got to be born of God, and you got to have an intimate relationship with God. That's the only way you can walk in this agape love. Now listen, "For he that loveth not knoweth not God." Why? "For God is love." Praise God.
Yes.
If you don't love people, and you're going around saying, "Yeah, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus," man, get out of my way, why smack you? That's not love. Jesus would never do that. No. When you read the gospel, Jesus would never tell you to threaten to smack somebody.
No.
Except for maybe a few Pharisees. I think he wanted to slap some of them, but that was out of love. Praise God.
Yes.
Because those Pharisees was destroying the lives of other people. God, one thing God can't stand is religious leaders who mess up people's lives. Praise God.
Amen.
I believe there's a special place in hell for some of these pastors going around impregnating the young girls in their churches. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. And it's a temptation. You know, I see some of y'all fine women out there. You know, I can understand. But you know what? If I love you, I would treat you like you're worth something. Amen.
Amen.
See, if I sleep with you, then you're just nothing but an object to me. You're worthless to me in the long run. And then I'm showing I don't even care about my wife, which most of them do. They don't care about their wives. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to be under a pastor that values you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Be under a pastor that cares about you for you. Praise God.
Amen.
And now, when I give you compliments, you ladies and men, because you got to say that nowadays. You know, sometimes I tell the brothers how handsome they look, But I got, but I want you to know, brothers, when I tell you that, I'm pure hetero. Praise God. But I'm telling you that because I love you. Praise God. And I'm trying to encourage you. Young ladies, when I'm telling you that you look beautiful, it's because I'm a father to you that's trying to build you up and help you to see the beauty that you have in yourself. Praise God.
Amen.
Sometimes, you know, a father, you need a father that tells you that, because if you don't have a father telling you that, then you'll fall for any other guy who comes up to you and say, oh, baby, you look good. Mm-hmm. You look so good. Yeah. He only wants one thing from you. And it ain't agape love. I love you, baby. Until after he got what he wanted. Amen. I'm just being real.
Amen.
Just being real. So we teaching you about the God kind of love. The God kind of love, he doesn't take advantage of you.
Amen.
The God kind of love, he dies for you.
Amen.
If you really want a good man, get one that'll die for you, praise God.
Amen.
Get one that's just like Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm trying to be more and more like Jesus. At this point, I do believe I can jump in front of a bullet and if somebody's trying to shoot my wife, praise God.
Mm.
Now, I ain't tried it yet. But at this point, I do believe I would do it, praise God. There's no doubt I would do it for my children. You know, but sometimes I say, you know, my wife's 7 months older than me. I need to live longer. That's selfish. Y'all, scratch that off the record. Praise God. Amen. But let's continue reading 1 John chapter 4. It says, he that knoweth, loveth not God, for God is love. Verse 8. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Praise God.
Amen.
Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Look, listen. The love of God loves you despite how you feel about him. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
That is unconditional love. That's the kind of love you have to have in a marriage. That's the kind of love you have to have in a church. That's the kind of love you have to have in a family relationship. Praise God.
Amen.
There'll be a lot less family feuds and cousins. Man, and even brothers and sisters mad at each other for years, not talking to each other for years, not showing up for family reunions for years, if there was more of God kind of love within our family, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, some of my relatives, and if y'all listen, y'all just going to hear the truth. Some of my relatives get on my last nerve. I mean, I ain't kidding you. I mean, most of them are Democrats. Well, 98% of them, I think there's only like me and one of my cousins are Republican or whatever have you. And man, I get rasped every time I go to one of the family reunions. I mean, they target me. They, as soon as they see me coming, let's get it. And they all claim to love me. I mean, they would tell you, man, cuz we love you, man, but you need to change your, I would, if it was based on feelings, I probably wouldn't go to too many family reunions because I know I'm going to get harassed. But I go down because I need to continue to be a witness, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And I love them too much to forsake my family, praise God. So all the marriage things, the family things, is all based on agape love. Now, you know, when my wife can make me mad and I can make her mad, But we made up our mind over 30 years ago. I told her, I said, don't ever use that D word. I said, I don't care how mad we get at each other. I don't care how much we get on each other's nerves. The word divorce will not come out of our mouth, praise God.
Yeah.
I said, we won't even do it as a joke. We don't even joke about it, praise God.
Amen.
Now, we joke about a lot of stuff. Me and my wife love messing with each other. As my kids know. But one thing we will never joke about is that D thing. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So this kind of love, the God kind of love, will never, ever, ever see a divorce court. Never. Praise God.
Amen.
If you have the God kind of love in your marriage, in any relationship, there will not be anybody going to the divorce court. If I love you, I will, even as your brother, your sister, you can do me wrong, but I won't take you to court and sue you. Praise God.
Amen.
Paul said, wouldn't you rather just be wrong than to take your brother before an unsaved heathen to have him judge you between you and your brother? No, if you love somebody, you will suffer the wrong. Hallelujah. Amen. See, we got to learn to do that because we just take stuff personally. And I'm still getting there myself. Oh, glory to God. I'm not, you know, there's no lying about it. When you do something to hurt me, man, it hurts. I still got feelings. God has feelings. But what I'm learning to do is, despite when you hurt me, I continue to love you. Praise God.
Amen.
I make up my mind immediately. Forgive them. Sometimes they don't even know what they're saying or doing. Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
And so love, agape love, is the God kind of love, the kind that God said, I'm going to sacrifice for them, and despite how they treat me, despite how they spit in my face, despite how they tell me, leave us alone. Just this morning, before prayer, we read Job chapter 22, verse 17, which talks about how some of the people told God, depart from us. What can the Almighty do for us? These are the people that spit in God's face, and yet God still said, let me give them 120 years to repent and do right by me. Praise God.
Amen.
That's God. That's the kind of God we serve. Allah's not like that. Man, you insult Allah, insult the prophet, and you on the kill list. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, Allah has no mercy. He has no love, except for those who blow themselves up for him. But that's not even real love. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
The Buddha doesn't have any love. Buddha's not even a god really. It's an entrance into a certain type of system called nirvana, to where you must reach this goal. See, if you check out any cult, they talk about love, but some of these cults are nothing but selfish love, self-focused love. The only true type of love, and what makes true Christianity unique, is the self-sacrificing love that our God has and that he demands of his followers. Hallelujah. There is no other religion. Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. But there's no religion around you that can compare to the truth about Jesus Christ. He is a self-sacrificing God. The Father is a self-sacrificing God. The Holy Spirit, see, people don't understand, man, the Holy Spirit is self-sacrificing. He puts up with us all the time.
Amen.
I'm telling you, and he hasn't left you yet, has he? The Bible says he will be with you forever. I mean, some of the stuff I must have put the Holy Spirit through and he's still sticking around, man, that's love. I'm
mm-hmm.
telling you.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't got no business getting mad at people when they insult me or hurt me because when I think about that. Oh, glory to God. I remember a prophecy I received years ago concerning my ministry. You know, it's funny because my wife will remember Dr. J.R. Roper. He's with the Lord now. But we're in this church. There's hundreds of people there. And Dr. Roper calls me out of all the crowd and tells me to come up. And so I'm in front of all these people, and I know I'm about to receive a word from God. And so he puts his hand on me, and he begins to pray for me. And the Lord begins to speak to him and says, yea, I have called thee into the ministry, and I've given me these gifts and stuff. And then he says, but this I have against you. And I'm like, I wasn't looking for that. And he began to, in front of all these people now, tell them about some of my sins, you know, my sins of trying to copy other preachers and stuff like that. But this one word he said to me stuck with me. He said, if I had not loved thee, I would have left thee long ago.
Mm.
And when he said that, I said, you know what? I may be getting rebuked right now, and it's a little embarrassing, but you know what? This God loves me. Hallelujah. Because he could have left me. I wouldn't even have no ministry today if God didn't love me. Praise God.
Amen.
But because he loved me, He stuck it out with me. He put up with my foolishness until I got myself straightened out. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is, man, I'm telling you, this God is love. And this is, and as you understand how God is, then you will understand how you must become. Glory to God.
Amen.
God is self-sacrificing. You must be self-sacrificing. All right, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Look at that. If you and I love each other, then you know that God is in us. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we're not loving each other, we can't go around claiming that we got, I'm saved, sanctified, fire baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. No, you're not. You ain't even loving. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
The mark of being filled with the Holy Ghost is not just being able to speak in tongues. I speak in tongues, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
I want all y'all to start speaking in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna teach on this again soon. I taught on it a couple years ago. But we're going to teach on it again. You can get filled with the Spirit. You don't have. Now listen, it doesn't mean you're not saved. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I was saved like 6 or 7 months before I finally received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And I know I was saved and I was in love with the Lord. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
But I got some extra power. However, the mark of being filled with the Holy Spirit was not my being able to speak in tongues. The mark of being filled with the Holy Spirit was not my just laying hands on the sick and they recovered. I've done that. I've seen people get healed from cancer and all kinds of stuff. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
But the mark of my being filled with the Holy Spirit is how I am towards others. And that's, am I loving? Am I kind? Am I acting like God? Or am I acting like the devil? See, you know why God judges his ministers more than he judges anybody else? If the ministers fail to walk in love, we're supposed to be representing God. And when we misrepresent God, he gets very upset. Praise God.
Amen.
And that's why some ministers get judged. I was reading a book by a friend of a brother yesterday. And he was talking about this great healing evangelist back in the early 1900s named George Jeffries. Crowds would come to his meetings and people would get miraculously healed. You know, when you got all that supernatural power working through you, if you're not careful, you can get the big swelled head. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, I remember sometimes when people got healed of cancer, sometimes I'd be like, I don't want to wash this hand anymore. Man, this was the hand that touched that person that got him healed. you can get a swelled head when God starts working miracles through you. Well, that's what happened to Brother Jeffries. He went, one day he says, the whole world is at my feet. And that's when one of the guys who was following him, he said, oh, he's done. It's over for him. And later on, this guy got arthritis so bad that he was bent over like this.
Mm.
And they said that you had to get on one knee just to talk to him. It wasn't God that did that to him, but when you get into pride like that, you open the door for Satan to attack you, because once you step out of love, you are in Satan's territory. See, love protects you. Say, love protects me.
Love protects me.
Oh, love will protect you from the enemy. And being humble is walking in love, because Jesus was humble. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was meek and lowly. He was humble. That means the Father is humble. How many of y'all know the Father is a humble person?
Amen.
Oh, God is humble. And love, mark of humility, love is one of the demonstrations of love is humility. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's read on. Verse 12 says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. Say God is love.
God is love.
Say God is love.
God is love.
And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Praise God.
Amen.
See, you got to dwell in love. Say dwell in love.
Dwell in love.
That means it's a decision on your part. You got to make a commitment to dwell in love. And as long as you dwell in love, God dwells in you, and he's manifested through you. Praise God.
Amen.
See, the God kind of love is unconditional. And the test of love is when somebody does you wrong. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What are you going to do when somebody does you wrong? Now, I'm not telling you to let somebody walk all over you like a carpet. Amen. Mm-hmm. There's sometimes you got to, if somebody, I use these illustrations a lot. If you're married to somebody and they're beating on you, you need to love them from a distance. Praise God.
Amen.
You need to call the police, and that person needs to be in jail. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, when that person's in jail, you don't become bitter about it. Even if you have to divorce them because they're abusive ways, you can't live with a person like that. You do it not because you hate the person, but for your safety and the safety of your children to get away from that abusive person. Mm-hmm. So when we tell you to have unconditional love, we're not meaning that you get walked all over. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. If you have an ought against a brother or sister, somebody stole something from you, somebody did you wrong, somebody owe you money, you can make two choices. You can forgive them of the debt. I've done that with people a lot of times. Or if this is a consistent thing, you bring them before the church. Amen.
Amen.
And bring them before, first thing you do is take somebody else with you and talk to the person. If they're not going to receive you, then bring them before the church. Praise God.
Amen.
Bring them before the pastor and the leaders, and we'll deal with it. If they don't listen to us, then we treat them like they're a publican and a heathen. In other words, we treat them like they're a sinner. Praise God.
Amen.
But the thing you don't do is go around talking about them. You don't go around plotting your vengeance against them. You don't go around on social media dogging them out, talking about them before the whole world. Amen.
Amen.
You don't do any of that. You don't get on the phone with all your friends and your girlfriends and your boyfriends and start telling what that person did to you. You work things out between you and the person first. Amen.
Amen.
And that's the God kind of love. See, God, his love, he loves you, but he will confront you. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
God will confront you. If pastor confronts you, it's not because I'm mad at you. It's because I'm looking out for your well-being. Say amen on that one.
Amen.
Amen.
Pastor loves you. I confront people. I'm going to tell you, it's the hardest thing for me to confront people. But I have to do it sometimes. Because if I don't, you'll destroy yourself.
Yes.
And you'll destroy the church too. So even if you don't care about yourself, I gotta protect everybody else in the congregation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So love means forgetting about my own needs, my own hurts, my own wants, my own desires, and putting others before me. And I'm not saying that you won't hurt. I'm not saying that it's wrong to have desires. You should have desires. You should have dreams. You should have goals. Praise God.
Amen.
But it's never good. It should never be at the expense of somebody else. You know why some of y'all are nurses? Hopefully you're nurses because you care about people. Hopefully you didn't do the nursing thing so that just because you needed a job so bad and that was the easiest thing to get. Because I tell you, I couldn't do that. I couldn't be a nurse. Don't get me wrong. It's not because I can't change bread plans. I could do it. I could do that. It's because I would be crying a lot. I remember I went to the hospital one time when my sister was dying, and I was at the hospital. You know, she was in the burn unit, and I'm seeing all, and not only her, I'm seeing all these other people that have been burnt. And I'm just crying over all these people.
I
told the nurse, what was that, Pastor Mary?
You're not doing what?
Exactly. I would not be able to do my job. That's why I told the nurse, I said, man, you guys are angels. I don't know how y'all do it. I'm telling you. To be a nurse, you got to be an angel. Some of y'all are angels. Some of y'all are selfish, though. Some of y'all just did this thing because you needed the money.
Yeah,
you know who you are. I ain't looking at nobody, so yeah. You know who you are, but you got to do this. If you're going to do something, you got to do it because you care about others. If you dream of being a nurse, it should be because you care about people. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. If you dream of being in the ministry to be a preacher, it's because you care about people's souls, not because, you know, you see Pastor so-and-so on television. He got a Rolex and an Armani suit, and he's driving a Rolls Royce, and he's got a large church, and you just want to be like that. That's selfish, praise God. Mm-hmm. You in this thing because you love souls and you want to help them. Glory to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Everything you do, your goals, your desires, your dreams should always be others focused. If you're going to be an IT specialist, you're doing it because you care about people. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, I think I was talking about this last week with Yar. You know, there's a lot of IT people that just sit in their office. They don't want to be bothered with people. Leave me alone. If you got a problem, just call me and I'll fix it. I'm a people person. I got to go up and talk to the people. I'll fix their problems in front of them, you know, just because I want to talk to them and see them face to face. Praise God. And there's some people that get on my last nerve, but I still go up there with a smile on my face and love in my heart for them. And, you know, sooner or later, it melts them. And there's not, I'm going to tell you, there's not one person who will say anything bad about me. Praise God. They always say, man, he's a nice guy. You know why? Because of Jesus being in me. It's not because I am a naturally nice guy, but that natural nice guy was a selfish person too. Mm-hmm. I was nice to you only as long as you was nice to me. Soon as you made me back. You finished. That niceness is over. Like the song says, no more Mr. Nice Guy. But the love of Jesus made me nice no matter how people treat me. Praise God.
Amen.
And I can still greet people, love people, and talk to them because there's something in me that says, Jesus loves that person. That person's a soul. That person, if they know everybody who know, they almost everybody in that office knows I'm a Christian, and many of them know I'm a pastor. If I treat them like dirt, that reflects not so much just on the church or on Christianity, it reflects on Jesus. I'm not even so concerned about the name of our church. I'm not even concerned so much about. You know, I used to be concerned about the fact that I was a Christian. You know, I didn't want to put a bad name on Christianity. And if they found out I'm a pastor, then I really didn't want to make myself look bad as a pastor. Notice myself.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, exactly. You know, man, they know I'm a pastor. Maybe if I be mean, they're gonna find out that I'm a pastor, and then I'm gonna put a bad name on myself. But when I found out that how this reflects on Jesus, mm-hmm. I said I got to change my attitude, and I got to be a witness for him. See, being a witness is not just passing out a tract and saying, "Hey, do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior?" No, being a witness is exactly, Pastor Mary, your daily life, showing them that you love. Praise God. We got more on this. We're gonna stop right here. But we got more on this teaching about God being love. We're gonna help in the upcoming weeks. We're gonna help you to understand that if you understand God, you understand that God is love. You understand how God reacts in love. Then you will understand how you need to act, because God is your ultimate example. Praise God.
Amen.
And let me say this in closing. If your pastor doesn't show you a good example, don't turn away from God. Mm-hmm. Turn away from me. Leave the church. Go find another pastor. But don't turn away from Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
Follow me as I follow Christ. But if you find out that I'm out there cavorting with a bunch of women, doing all kinds of stuff, don't turn away from Jesus. That's what happened back in the 80s. When Jimmy Swaggart fell and Jim Baker and all them fell, then all these Christians, these leaders, they ain't nothing, so I don't even want to be in church no more. What are you going to going to fall because of a human being. Don't fall because of pastor. Now, I'm going to always try to be the best example to you. Praise God. I'm going to do my best. But if I mess up, don't turn away from the Lord. Praise God. Because he loves you. He is the ultimate example of love. Even if I can act stupid, the Lord will always be loving. Praise God.
Amen.
He will always show you unconditional agape love. That's what I love about him. Praise God. I've been around some bad leaders and leaders who have hurt my feelings, hurt my heart. But I never turned away from Jesus because I saw that he wasn't like my leaders. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. And so I didn't just, you know, leave the church. I didn't do that. I still said, well, regardless of how pastor's acting or this elder's acting, Jesus is my primary example. Praise Amen. God. Stand to your feet.
Amen.
Did you learn anything?
Yep.
Glory to God. I tell you, God is so good.